Well, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I'm the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. And my special guest tonight is Elaine Carmichael. And we may have some other special guests popping on tonight, too, to talk about this new program that we're launching. And I just want to thank you, Elaine, for joining us and taking time out of your schedule. It's definitely an honor for me to have you on here.
Thank you, Peggy.
So Elaine is one of the board members for Sped Homeschool. If you don't know, our organization is a 501c3 nonprofit, which means we have a board of directors that I report to and that kind of oversee the functionality of our organization. And Elaine has blessed us with her help since our origination about a little over a year ago. And I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight, Elaine, because when the idea of this project, this campaign was kind of floating through my head and I had been praying about it, you were the one that came to me and said, I want to look at it a different way. And have you considered this? And this is the need that I really feel. And so I was just hoping maybe we could start out with just your story. And then we'll kind of go from there, but definitely you've homeschooled and you have seen the need for community within our community and just how that's affected your family by not having really the support that many homeschoolers have. Just the special needs community doesn't. And I think that's the story we definitely want to get out tonight, is the need. And then I'm going to talk a little bit at the end about just what we're planning to do to fill that need. But let's hear your story.
Okay. Well, my husband and I have six children. Mm-hmm. This is my stepdaughter, my husband's daughter. And then the others, of course, are ours. Our youngest is finally 18. I can't believe it.
That's April. Amazing.
So we've homeschooled since 92. And all the others have graduated from homeschooling. But with our youngest, life changed. We're involved in homeschool support groups during the years that the older kids were homeschooling. But what we discovered with Aaron early on is that he couldn't fit in. We were in a co-op when he was a toddler, and people were asking questions about his behavior. And our mom was trying not to say the word autism. She was fearful it might upset me. I honestly didn't know what autism was at the time.
Right.
You know, so over the years, we've learned a lot about autism. With Aaron, anything he started as a little guy, it's like somebody turned the switch off and just stopped. And just those milestones. And he's basically been stuck at about a 2 to 3 year old level, depending upon what it is.
Yeah.
The things he's learned along the way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our homeschooling has been based on functional life skills.
Yeah.
He's be able to, you know, put waffles in the toaster and how to put butter in the syrup on them, how to use the microwave. You know, honestly, even personal hygiene we're still working on that.
Right.
Better. And we've had therapies along the way. Right now looking at it turning into a at-home therapy. We're waiting for insurance to approve on that. But the first thing I think is that often with our big family is people assume that our older kids are going to step in and help out with their little brother. Well, that's true when they were still living at home. But now each of them are married. They have their own lives. Some of them don't even live close by. And it's more difficult. And you can't always depend on family to be the ones to help out. They don't always understand your special needs child. That's kind of where we are. We've been able to use some respite programs at some churches locally. But sometimes those things change, and one of them did. We're trying to go somewhere on a respite night, and it kind of caught us by surprise. So always praying to raise up maybe a pool of people that can help us. You know, I've got a doctor appointment. I can call somebody and say, hey, are you available on this day and time? My husband travels with his work, so he's not home every night.
Right.
And So it has been difficult. Our youngest daughter does live at home, and you know, she works a job, and she's not always available either. So it's difficult.
Right. Yeah. It's ongoing. And I know I hear from so many parents, and my parents are in the same boat as you too. They still have five kids at home, and finding reliable help, even if you have the funding, isn't always there. Just because, there's many reasons for that, but it has to be a community that really understands your family, supports your family, and doesn't just do it for the money, because people that do care for the money are in and out on their own whims. And so really creating a community that understands the needs of your family and will be there during the tough times as well as the good times.
Yes. And you want people you can trust.
Yes, exactly.
Leave them alone with your child. Mm-hmm. I think he was little. A friend hooked me up with a chat room that was back then. And it really scared me, because we hear the parents talking about, you know, and you're going, child molestation? What? No.
Oh, wow. Yes.
No. And so, you know, Mike and I celebrate our 40th anniversary this summer. And our hope is to take a spring trip.
We'd
like to be able to find some people who can stay here with him. I know his siblings might take a turn or two, but
right,
you know, if we could do that, that would be great. So it means planning ahead. We can't just up and go. We have to plan ahead and put everything in place.
Right. And, yeah.
You know, we had belonged to a local homeschool support group. And I remember in the early years of Aaron's autism, we tried to help the group change, you know, like to accept everything, and they just didn't get us.
And right.
We just stopped going. There was no point in keeping it going. We couldn't take Aaron.
Yeah. And we've heard that story many times from other families and even from support groups from the other side. When I was working with the Texas Homeschool Coalition, is that both sides would really try to make it work. But a support group is very different than a co-op. A co-op is bent around an educational purpose and teaching children. And for our special kids, most of them don't fit that mold, no matter how hard you try to make that work. It's something totally different has to come about. And that's where I was really stuck when I was talking to you about how do we, because we at first, just to let you guys know that are watching, we were looking at trying to figure out how to make an add-on program for co-ops so that we could add special needs families. And every time I just kept hitting a wall, and it's like God just kept saying, no, this is not the answer I have for you. But once we started talking, Elaine, the floodgates opened when so many other people just started pouring in what they are doing that's working, and really makes what we're moving ahead with so very possible.
Okay.
So that's exciting. I know it's really sad. I heard from my parents this last month that my dad contacted me, and he said, well, Mom and I will be taking our vacation separately from now on because we don't have care. And that was really sad to hear. I mean, that's great that I get to see both my parents this winter. But I won't see them together because they can't travel together. One of them has to be home with the kids that they still care for, because they don't have consistent care.
Yes. Oh, I get that. I mean, even in church, we have a special needs adult ministry, and all these years we've been kind of waiting for Aaron to be old enough, only to find he can't fit in there. He has to have a one-on-one buddy to be in the class with him. And these people are older. They're from a group home, and they're 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. They've been in these group home for a long time. We just don't fit in. I'm going, I can't believe this. We're just,
I know.
I mean, Mike and I talked about how do we go to Sunday school? Well, no, because we'd have to split up and go, you go this time, I go next time.
Yeah.
Mike's blessed me with allowing me to go once a month and sing with the choir ensemble. And I need that. I need that. I love to do that. So he takes care of Aaron on those Sundays. But other than that, it's really hard for us to do anything together. It's usually one. We tried going to a softball game for my granddaughter. He cannot tolerate the noise.
Oh, yes.
He has a meltdown nearly every time we're going. We want to be there so badly to support her.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a misconception that people that are not within the special needs community don't understand. They're like, well, just go to a church that has a special needs program. Well, a lot of times they don't exist. And if they do, they are difficult to, if, like you said, you know, that they only hit a small minority of people that they can service. And, or else they do require a parent to be there. And that's really not the support that we need. That's what so many times when my son was younger and before he really mellowed out with a lot of his issues, I had to be there or he couldn't. And, yes. And that wasn't what I needed. It just kind of made me feel more isolated that yes. Here I was in this group of people that were supposed to be my loving support group. And yet I was alone. And
we were able to reach out to two churches that are right around the corner from ours. And mm-hmm. one of them has a super support group that meets mm-hmm. once a month, and they have volunteers that take care of the kiddos and so on. But it's not a homeschool support group.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. Most of them don't and have told me they won't.
Mm-hmm.
They never want to talk about it. I've told them about SPED homeschool. And then the other church offers a VBS program in the summer where they include in their special needs suite special needs. And that's been a blessing. And that's how their respite program. But I mean, I'm still praying that maybe our church will eventually have that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're about to lose the couple, they're retiring. And we want to talk with our pastor about maybe what can it look like differently so that Aaron can be included. And we just don't have a lot of kids like Aaron in our congregation. So more people are asking questions, you know, how can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
Because that means they're asking.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. That means that they care. Yeah. And it is very different. Like you pointed out, between families that send their kids to a school or a day program or anything like that and who homeschool, your needs are much different, at some point. You need to have that additional support of I'm not crazy. And that's a lot of things that we talk about within the Facebook support group that we have is, you know, there's just so many other things that, you know, all the life skills that you were talking about, the things that we take on to teach our children. And how does that look? And am I, you know, the questions moms always ask, am I doing enough? And
yes, I've done that many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to have that support.
I feel like I haven't found the right curriculum or the right something to really. I was going to tell you too, within some of the support group, kids like my kid, who's nocturnal, doesn't sleep well at night. Moms were sharing their stories too, and I know that some of our SPED homeschool moms have the same thing. And we all just agreed, we just all need night nurses. You know, they take the night shift, we need to sleep. Myself, you know, we've gotten to the point where our body clocks are off because our kids' clocks are off.
And exactly.
I have the privilege of staying home with Aaron, but I know some of these moms have to work. So it makes it difficult for them. They're trying to sleep. And so some night shift homeschooler teenagers or somebody, you know, they want to sit long and hang out at my house to, you know, keep Aaron company.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think a unique component that we want to be adding to our support groups is that dads get involved too. And so that would be, it would be an entire family. So any siblings that are at home, the children who have, you know, specific needs, and the moms and dads together. And because marriages are definitely something that we're seeing fall apart on a regular basis within our community as well. There's just a lot of stress, and we need to support each other. And Well, thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate you just taking time away. Aaron did not make a guest appearance. He was on earlier when we were chatting, and I think he was done with the camera. So yeah.
Under his blanket. That's his input, sensory input.
Yep. Well, he missed his television debut, but
Special Buddy's t-shirt on from Misty.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very special program. And one that's going to kind of be pouring into this too, as I've been talking with Misty and how to integrate their original church program into what we're doing as well. So, yeah, mm-hmm, definitely. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Lane. I appreciate you just in sharing your story with us. And do you have anything else to share with our community as far as anything on your heart or about this program that we're talking about or the need?
Right offhand, I'm not thinking of anything specific. I know that for myself, finding quiet time with the Lord is really, really crucial. Mm. I try really hard each day, at least when Aaron's still sound asleep, and I'm to spend that time with the Lord. And some of the things I've taken away, I've stuck sticky notes on my computer. So I'll just share those. Psalm 37, trust, delight, commit, and be still. Was where Jesus is saving Peter. Peter, walking on the water. He's taking courage in his eye. Don't be afraid. When he asked about him, he says, come. And he says, why? You have little faith. Why did you doubt? And this weekend when I was at a retreat, one of the sayings that the sisters have come together with over the years is doubt your doubts. And I wrote it. I remember that, like you were saying, we feel so isolated. Oh, my goodness. Isolation is such like a number one enemy for us. Mm-hmm. And it just solidified that for me. Doubt your doubts. Just keep saying that over and over again. Doubt those doubts that come in and just lean into the Lord. Let those scriptures flow. Put on some music, worship all day long. It's okay. Because Aaron is nonverbal, it's easy to let half the day go by and I haven't even talked to him.
Oh, yeah.
Just get within your own thoughts and you go, wait, I need to do something. I need to play with him. He doesn't have any play skills. So to sit by himself, it's like he isn't, okay, I'm going to put this on. He's not doing anything. And that bothers me because I've got so much to do, you know, as the mom still cleaning, you got to pay the bills. You got to cook the meals and clean up after. And he's limited on what he can do to help. And so he's sitting and he's just, and I'm like, oh yeah, he can watch some TV or, you know, his favorite DVDs or listen to some music.
Yeah.
What is he doing that's really going to help him? And his age and his strength, he runs through the house at times. He's damaging furniture because he crashes into furniture. He passed on that sensory input. I'm praying for maybe a buddy that'll come run with him, take him to a track, run with him, walk with him, play ball with him. Even the OT, I'm saying, hey, can we teach him some play skills that he's not picked up yet?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And for parents who, you know, that aren't in that situation, that it seems so foreign, but yet, I mean, this is your day in and day out every day. And yeah, it's nice to know if you had a community that you're not alone. There's other people who are experiencing this the same as you are. And so thank you for those encouraging words. Just some good lessons and wisdom that you have to share from, you know, your own struggles, but your own struggles that you're seeing the light of God through. And
it's amazing what you're doing too during those times. It's really easy to become a feel sorry for me. And I get really tired of hearing your story after a while. And I realize that they need to hear both sides. They need to hear what God is doing in the midst of your valleys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm going to share some more stories of that people have shared on our support groups. So I'll let you go to the rest of your evening, and I'm going to keep going. And yeah, I just appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. It really means a lot. So, all right. Thanks, Elaine. Okay. So just to continue on this conversation with you, we have some other stories to share as well. I had put a video into our support group on Facebook, which we have over 1,500 families on there. And so I'm going to read you some of these stories because they really hit a point with just how pervasive this problem is from so many different angles. The first one I share with you is the story of Sabrina, and their family is now up on our fundraiser. That you'll see them on all of our banners, but that's her family right there, and they're holding a sign saying "Make us bed strong." So, but she wrote, "I'm Sabrina, my daughter with PDD ADHD is a special gift from God. She has a pure heart and always likes to help people, even though some people think she is annoyed. We just moved back from Malaysia to Houston in August. My daughter goes to a homeschooling church school with special needs program in Malaysia. They have 150 regular kids and 10 special needs kids. These 10 kids are like a treasure at this school. The teachers are great. Their vision is to teach the world to know these special angels from God and let them know how to get along well with them and accept them with love. My daughter enjoys that time at school. However, when we move back to Houston, we can't find this kind of school, even in a big church. They don't accept special kids. It really makes me sad and disappointed about the education system here. I can't find any co-op groups to accept her. I'm afraid to send her to public school because of the bullying problem. Private school is too expensive for us. Therefore, I start to homeschool her and try to find a group to have her make friends and learn social skills. If SPED starts a support group, it'll be great. It'll make us believe that there's still some place my daughter can fit in and be hugged and loved." And that's so true, is that our kids definitely need community as much as we do. And they need to know that there's people out there that will love them and care for them. And so, that was one of the stories. Another one is from Jace. She said, I feel my child doesn't fit anywhere. In fact, we constantly hear those words. Your child doesn't fit in this program, whether it be public school, homeschooled and co-ops, private school, or other community programs. I know how that hurts me, but I can't imagine how it affects my 14-year-old son who has autism. This summer, I put him in an ABA program where he felt like he did fit. His words to me after only a couple weeks of attending, "Thank you, Mom, for helping me find a place where I fit into this world." I cried thinking, wow, he finally felt accepted. I started homeschooling because my son was slipping through the cracks at school. I thought I could do a better job. It's very difficult some days, and some days I don't know if I'm doing any better, but I know my son is happier. I've attended some co-op meetings, looked into joining a few, but at those meetings, all I kept hearing was how smart the kids were in that particular program and how advanced they were in academics. I knew immediately that we wouldn't fit in. Homeschooling is definitely a calling, and it feels like your family is on this journey alone. I remember how thankful I was to find this SPED group. This was my community. I was recently venting to a friend about homeschool and how difficult it can be, and I was told that I needed to find my tribe. What tribe? There's no tribe for special needs children. We don't fit into the homeschool tribe. My tribe is this community. And she's talking about the support group we have on Facebook. For some of these children, the only peer socialization they get is therapy or church. And like I was talking with Elaine, for a lot of kids, that doesn't even exist either. A local SPED group would bring great opportunities to socialize our children in a way that they feel accepted. And that is really another one of our great desires, is to build that community for the children too, as well as the parents, as well as the siblings and everybody involved. The last one, I'm just going to share some excerpts because she had a lot of other things to share with me. And definitely I want to hear the heart of our community, just because I know that there's more than just creating local groups. There's so much need in our community, and we can only do a little bit at a time. This is where God has us now. This is the push that he has us to be working on. But she writes, "This is such a difficult issue. I really appreciate what you're doing. The homeschool community needs to face reality, honestly, because there's such pressure to prove that homeschooling works. Sometimes there's a tendency to discount the kids who aren't Einstein Jr." Later on, she goes to write, "I'd love for my daughter to be able to tell her story and for millions of other kids like her to tell their stories so that we can clear up so much of the information out there. It's not you have the ability to be a functioning citizen or you don't have the ability. It's more like you have the ability to do this and be great, even if you can't do that. Unfortunately, in our society, too many people, IQ automatically equates with social worth. And we look at those kids, and I tell you, I have to agree with her. I used to go to homeschool conventions and come home crying because I knew my kids were not those kids that they were talking about, that were getting all these scholarships and winning all these prizes. And I was barely making it through a day. And that was really hard to accept because I had no community to be able to bounce everything off of, just to get the support I needed. And so these stories go on and on. It's just not Elaine. It's just not my story, but we have so many people that are homeschooling special needs children that do not have the support that they need. My story started the way many people start homeschooling special needs children. My child wasn't accepted. He was at a private school, and the principal basically told me, "Well, we can keep him back another year and just, you know, work on his social skills," although he was already well mentally advanced beyond kindergarten. And I said, "No, you're going to put him in that. He's going to get more depressed." He was already talking about wanting to take his life at the age of 5. And so putting him in a public school, putting him in, kindergarten again was not the option that I had. I had to homeschool my son. And we hear this story, I think, on a daily basis. My only option is homeschooling. So many parents choose homeschooling because they have nothing else for their child. And they know that they can do something better. They can at least provide a safe environment. They can provide some place where their child can be calm. They can be themselves and not constantly try to fit in the mold or be ignored in a classroom. And on top of that, like Elaine and I were talking about too, is the church situation. Not a lot of them have supportive programs that we can put our kids in, especially if we have kids who are on the extreme end or we have kids that look normal and should be able to fit in. At least that's what we're told. And co-ops kind of do the same thing. I mean, these churches, these co-ops, I promise you, they do have a heart to help our kids. There are so many people that tried to reach out. They're just not trained. They're not equipped. And that's something that definitely has to be taught. If they don't have children like this in their own homes, it's hard to understand that when they do things, that they're not doing them because they're being deviant in their behavior. There are a lot of times it's sensory issues, and they have to be trained how to deal with sensory issues. For what worked for our family was finally we found a couple good friends that had kids with the same issues, and we became our own tribe. There were 3 families. We looked for teachers to be able to do some gymnastic things together. That was our own little class that we could do, or we would go on outings or just let the kids play together. And that became our tribe. And that's a difficult thing when, you kind of have to go outside the norms, but that's kind of where we want our groups to be starting is by meeting the local needs of the families that that we're helping. And so I kind of want to go into what are Bed Strong Tribes? What am I talking about? Well, I have to tell you the story because it all started with Elaine and her starting this conversation with me on the phone when I was talking about, you know, we have this program that I had basically brought from when I was working with the Texas Homeschool Coalition. We were trying to make a program so co-ops could bring in special needs families to support them. And every time I looked at this program, I just hit a brick wall. I could not get past that. And I've been praying for so long. And finally, Elaine opened my eyes and to see that this wasn't what God wanted. He wanted a whole new community for these families. And once I took that in, I started talking with another one of our board members, Cheryl Swoop, and she started asking me questions. And so her questions were revolved on, well, what do you have within you that can make these groups work? And as I looked back at all God had done in my life, maybe some of you don't know my history of ministry, but how I first started in ministry was making small groups. I started a Bible study at my own house. I had a whole group of women, and from that group started a MOPS group, Mothers of Preschoolers group. That grew into three MOPS groups, two daytime groups, and one nighttime group. We were helping hundreds of families. And then I got called into doing ministry actually with MOPS International, and I was training leaders across three states to set up small groups. And so talking about this with Cheryl, she's like, Peggy, you're equipped to create small groups. And I went, oh, yeah, I am. So that's kind of where this new idea birthed from. And from there, I made a call to Steve Demme, who maybe a lot of you know. He is the founder of Matthew C. And he got me thinking even more outside the box because he said, Peggy, I've been doing this amazing thing at the Johnny and Friends retreats with men. And just to get parents to share their stories, he said, stories are so powerful that it is a way to connect families with one another almost instantly when they can hear about not only the good stuff that's going on or just the surface stuff, but can get into the messy stuff of each other's lives. And just how much dads need to be involved. He said, churches minister to women, even our retreats minister to women, all the support for homeschool ministers to women. What about these dads? They feel like they're just the breadwinners. They're just there to bring the money in and then they get no support. He said, we need support as much as the moms do. And we need to build our marriages. And so that opened my mind even more to how this program is going to be designed. And then I started talking with Misty Northcutt, who runs the Special Buddies program for the Texas Homeschool Coalition. And she was originally a part of the church who started that program in their church, which then THSC brought in to become their Special Buddies program. And so she said, you know, Peggy, I know how to do this. I know how to support the kids that have any range of needs. And I want to share that with you on how we do that. And then I have another friend named Gail who runs a siblings program. And she specifically helps families to minister to the siblings and their specific needs, because oftentimes they feel kind of left out in this process. They have a sibling who has all these needs and yet they have needs too. And so that's kind of the basis of where this program has grown from. And it's only been a couple months. I have two meetings tomorrow just alone with the HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, who wants to help us not only with the special needs section of this program, but also with all the policies and the procedures and everything that would go into making these legal, as well as making sure you cover your bases with different things you need to think about with accessibility and defining your group so that people know what kind of needs you can meet in your group, and then you can think about those too. So I'm sorry, I have a cold. So I'm going to take a break here. There we go. So that's kind of the background behind where these groups are being formed from. Our timeline on this program is to be able to consolidate all these open sourced things that people have been sharing with us. And that's going to take some dedicated time. And we have some team members who are willing to step away from places they're currently making money to be able to work on this, but we have to be able to pay them. We also need to be able to field test this program before we launch it, and then to launch it. Our goal is to do that still within this year. I think it's very doable in looking at how much people have already shared with us. It'll just take about 2 to 4 people a dedicated time of, depending on how many people are working on it, about 4 to 6 months. So so that's kind of the program in a nutshell. And so the next thing I wanted to share with you is, well, how can we help? So the first thing we ask is that you just pray. This is what the program tonight is called, Mission Possible, because we know that it is possible. For all that God has been doing to bring this this program together already, we know that his hand is in it. And we just ask that you pray that he will continue, that that we'll have not only the funds, but also the insight and the wisdom to bring this together as quickly and efficiently as possible, and to be able to launch into the communities and into the first groups that can really help us hone in on any weaknesses that are in the program so that it's successful from the beginning. We just ask that you share our campaign. Now, we have created a fundraiser. I'm going to put this up on here. If you go to even www.fundraiser, and it's razr.com/ Sped Strong, because this is the Sped Strong Tribe campaign. And once you do that, it'll take you to this page. I'm going to share that page with you. So what it'll do is it'll take you to that page, and you can either share it with your social media population, or you can actually create a fundraiser within a fundraiser. So we've already had one person do that already. Our goal is to raise $40,000 for this program. You can create a fundraiser within our fundraiser to raise as much as you want. Our suggested goal is $1,000. If we have 40 people raise $1,000 within their own communities, we've already raised enough money for this program. That's how simple it is. But it's going to take a group effort, and we're just praying, asking God to supply our needs, and for people just to be able to share this campaign. You can also share our need on Facebook, so that is an option. You can either create a campaign or add a donate button for Facebook onto a post that you make. Facebook allows that. Since we are a 501c3, any donation made to us is tax deductible, and you will get a receipt with your donation, either from Facebook or from fundraiser. And you also have the option on fundraiser to give on a consistent basis. So if you think, well, I can only give maybe $10 now, but I can give on a consistent basis $10 a month, we would just ask that you consider making that an option also. So so those are some ways to do, but the peer-to-peer and creating your own fundraiser is definitely something that is an easy thing to do. Fundraiser makes it super easy. You just go on and you click on a button and it goes from there. So, I'm all messed up here. I clicked some things and now it all moved. So, and even just, just sharing the posts that we share. We're going to be increasing the number of sharing posts just on this campaign through Giving Tuesday, which is less than a month away. It's November 27th. And we'll just be sharing kind of updates along the way. And hopefully you can join in and sharing those with your community and just getting the word out on the need, as well as how our funding process is going for this campaign. So, and also you can, just wanted to know other ways you can support. If you feel like Facebook is not secure, just know that a lot of people have been saying that as of late. So Fundraiser is a secure website. So that would be a way to donate if you have those questions. And also we have links on our own website. If you go to spendhomeschool.com, there's a donate button right up in our taskbar, right up on top. And you can donate through GuideStar, which is doesn't even take any money away from us. It's 100% contributed to Sped Homeschool if you donate through GuideStar. They are the ones who partner actually with Amazon Smile and a whole lot of other nonprofit fundraising things. We also have a Facebook, or not a Facebook, but PayPal, as well as DAF, so a donor assisted funds if people are looking to give funds from for like a grant to Spend Homeschool. We also do that. So just some neat ways to be able to share. So that's basically the program. And I just want to thank those of you that watched with us tonight. Next week, we are going to be talking to Joan Green. And our theme is going to be maximizing tech to help your student. And she is a tech guru who has some ideas on how to use what you already have for assistive technology. So so that'll be exciting, because I'm sure she knows a whole lot of things that I don't, and a whole lot of us don't either. So thank you for watching tonight, and for listening in on our podcast or on one of our recorded sessions on Facebook or on our YouTube channel. And I just want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for funding in part this program, as well as donors like you who support us on our website and through our various funding channels. So thank you, and I hope you have a great night. And I thank you just all for your support in this campaign we have moving forward, and for your prayers. God bless.